You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to episode 179 of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight we're going to talk Batman number 88, Justice League number 40, Justice League Odyssey number 18, Lois Lane number 8, Young Justice number 13, Batwoman season 1 episode 12, take your choice, Supergirl season 5 episode 12, Back from the Future part 2, Black Lightning season 3 episode 13, The Book of Markovia chapter 4, Grab the Strap, Flash season 6 episode 11, Love is a Battlefield, Flash season 6 episode 12, A Girl Named Sue, Legends of Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 4, Slay Anything, and Legends of Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 5, Ahead of Her Time. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. Alright, first up for DC news, Jim Lee awakens from a 4-day nap to learn he's suddenly in charge of DC Comics. I saw that article and I had to freaking die laughing. if you haven't seen that article on our Facebook group page, go check it out. It's funny. The real DC news,
which is that is technically, I mean, not the nap part, but the other part is true.
Yes, Dan Didio exit DC. Bleeding Cool now understands that yes, Dan Didio was fired 02/21/2020 by Warner Brothers at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in their Burbank offices, and he left the building straight away. Bleeding Cool was told by sources close to the situation that he was fired for fostering a poor work environment.
I can't imagine that's really why the dude was fired, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been pretty vocal that I'm not personally a fan of the direction that he has generally taken DC Comics in. That being said, I do feel like the guy probably deserved a better exit than what he got.
Probably. I mean, he's been with DC for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, at least, I don't know, at least make it look like he's resigning or something to help him. You know what I mean? Like, this seemed, I don't know. I assume that he probably was fired because AT&T or Warner Brothers, which I don't know how far up the ladder this thing goes, but, you know, somewhere higher than DC, clearly, you know, wanted to shake things up, whether it was because of sales or whatever, and they used him as the fall guy. I'm not upset about the result. I am glad that he is out, personally. I do hope he is able to do something else with his career. By all means, I don't wish the guy ill, but I do think he probably deserved a better way to be let go than this.
Probably. And I'm not sad to see him go either. And I keep seeing online, is 5G going away? So I'm curious to see what's going to happen because of the shakeup, or are they going to continue with their plans for 5G? I don't know.
You see, I got to admit, the 5G thing is a little bit, I'm a little bit confused on what they're doing with it exactly. Like, are they going to be putting out different stories, like comics that go into it, different generations? So like, are they going to basically continue Golden Age comics, or are they just saying that that was a generation of superheroes we're not writing comics for, but that existed? It's been a little bit confusing to me, I guess, probably in part because I only know half of what the plan is, but yeah.
One of the things I understood from it was that Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman were going to be replaced in some shape or form. And things were going to be different moving forward. That's for what I understood about it.
Yeah, I had seen something about that too. I don't know, man. It's a pretty bold direction to go. I do think it is the right choice in terms of I am ready for DC and Marvel to both stop rehashing stories. Like, let's just let Nightfall have happened, and so I don't need to read the fifth version of Nightfall. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the fifth version of Doomsday meeting Superman for the first time. Like, it's never going to be done better than it was the first time. It's just not going to have the same impact. Even if the story itself is written better, it's not going to have the same impact.
Yeah, it's time to move on to some newer stuff. I agree with you there.
So in that regard, I think it's the right choice. What they're actually doing with it, though, and this is, I think, sort of the thing that honestly is frequent issue during Didio's run, which is some of the ideas aren't necessarily bad, but the execution of them is just not there. Like, they only understand like half of the problem, and they don't address the other half, and so nothing is ultimately fixed by it.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens, what the fallout of this is, or is DC going to keep moving on with their plan 5G?
Honestly, the big thing that DC needs to do, in all seriousness, is to stop messing with it. Like, if they're going to do this 5G, that's fine. And I'm somewhat a fan of it because I feel like this might be the easiest one to not mess with it, right? Because there's no solid timeline that you have to keep to now.
Right.
I think. I don't know. I could be wrong. And I'm sure at some point they will. But the more you mess with it, I feel like both – we've talked about this a ton on the podcast. But I feel like what it does is it gives you that temporary blip in increased readership because you're putting out a bunch of new comics and people want to check them out and see if they're any good. But in the long run, you end up losing readers because you just sort of get to a point where, like, I don't even know what's going on in these what I thought was a storyline that I was interested in doesn't even matter anymore. Why am I still reading it? I feel like they ultimately sacrificed long-term readers in lieu of a temporary bump in sales. And that's just, it's diminishing returns. It works a little bit less every time.
One of the things about old DC was its legacy and the legacy of the characters. And that seems to be lost on modern times, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would agree with you. The post-New 52 DC stuff has had, it's all, I mean, even Rebirth was still functioning within the New 52 world, so to speak. It was basically just people remembering that there was stuff that happened beforehand.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what... I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit concerned because I've also been pretty vocal that I don't think that Jim Lee is the answer either. It's not like... Let's not pretend that Dan Didio... I'm sure DC would, and more importantly, Warner Brothers /AT&T would like to have you believe that Didio was the problem. And I personally think he was part of it. But even if he was, he was not solely responsible for the direction that DC has gone in the last two decades.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to hear within the next week or two somebody else being put in charge. I'm totally expecting that. And the higher-ups may already have a plan for that, and they just haven't announced it yet.
Yeah, I hope it's not all on Jim Lee, because I'm going to be frank, I don't think that Jim Lee's the answer either. He's already been basically in charge as it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? But giving him sole control isn't going to... There's not like there was some genius idea that he's had that somehow Didio was blocking. I can't imagine that he would have been able to do that.
Right.
I mean, I don't work at DC. I have no idea how the power structure worked exactly. But like, if Jim Lee wanted something done, I can't imagine he was having a hard time getting it done. So
exactly.
I would like some new creative voice in there. And we know it's not going to be John's because he's basically out the door too.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I have a feeling it's going to be new blood, but we'll see.
As long as it's a comic person. I honestly am a little bit concerned that it might be a non-comic person that gets stuck in charge of it. And it's basically just like a, you know, doing things for sales and not for any creative artistic reason.
Yeah, that would suck. All right, well, let's move on to our second bit of DC news this week. The Flash will introduce a new Wally West in season 6. It's the same character that we know and love, but he's grown, deepened and changed, and he might even have some new abilities. Wally will be making his post-crisis debut in an episode titled Death of the Speed Force. So it's cool that Wally's going to be coming back, but he's only coming back. He's not coming back full time. He's going to be coming back for cameo appearances.
I got to say, this would be the time to put a new actor in, right?
Yeah.
Post-crisis. Be like, look, Wally, it's still Wally. He just looks different for some reason because the timeline changed.
I was actually surprised when they announced it was the same actor. I thought it was going to be somebody new, honestly, when I started reading the article. And then when I found out it was the old actor, I was like, oh, that's surprising.
I mean, to be fair, I like the guy that plays him. I have nothing against him, but he's pretty clear, because I've read the interview, that he doesn't want to do it full time, which is fine. That's totally within his rights. But then, like, maybe let's get somebody who can't do it more frequently.
So
that's what they did with. I mean, that's basically what they did with. They basically did that with Vixen, sort of, by using her grandma instead of the actual Vixen. That actress, for whatever reason, even though she was cast in the animated thing specifically to be live action, she couldn't do it anymore. Fine. And so they cast somebody else to effectively still be Vixen. Right.
Right.
So why not do that with Wally? I don't know. It again, it's fine. I'm not upset because I do still like that actor, but I don't know. I would like to see Wally on more frequently. It'd be easy for somebody to forget that he's even been a character on the show, to be honest.
Yeah. Agreed, because he's been gone for so long.
Because it's not the same as like what they did with Arsenal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Roy was on the show for 2 years, two plus years. What did he get written off third season? I think.
Anyway, I can't remember.
Third ish season he got written off briefly, but then like he was like part of the original part of the show. So like you kind of grew up with the show with him there, and then he made very frequent appearances throughout the show after that, including being a regular again later on. So it's not the same. Like Wally wasn't there for what, two seasons? I think it was season three that he popped up, and then he was gone again. It was like one and a half seasons of Wally West, so he's not been on the show nearly as much as a character like Roy was. So I'd like more of him. I mean, I feel like he's important to the show. I feel like what they did with the character made him important just on the show, ignoring the Wally West of the comics.
Yeah. So, and I think they also did him a disservice, too, when they had him on the show, because for some reason they couldn't seem to do stuff with Flash and Kid Flash at the same time. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. They could never, they didn't really figure it out that well with
Excess.
I knew it was something like Impulse. they didn't really, if I'm remembering wrong, unless I'm remembering wrong, correct me on this, I don't think they did it super well with the two of them either. There's usually only one of them could be Speedy at once, which is always our problem with him and Wally. Like, it was like both of them couldn't be speedsters at the same time.
They did a lot better with Excess, I remember.
Maybe I'm just remembering my frustration with the general inability to handcuff Cicada. I will never get over that. That was unbelievable. But yeah, now the more I think about it, I think you're right. They did do it a little bit better. But still, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to have two speedsters. I mean, they can do it when it's Reverse Flash and Flash on the screen. They're able to do it just fine. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe it would cost us time with Elongated Man, so then in that case, I would make that trade.
Yeah, especially after the episode we had this last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been such a great addition to the show. So if that was the trade, if we had to lose Wally to get Elongated Man, I suppose I'm willing to make that trade.
All right, well, that wraps up our DC news for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the comedy stylings of Hugh for the Bourne Collection.
When I was part of the Bourne Collective, My Borg wife was so fat, when she sat around the collective, she sat around the collective.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
And we're back! But before we get into this week's comic books talk, we gotta let you know, there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. For you.
All right, let's talk Batman number 88. So, the issue opens up, Catwoman is digging up a grave at the beginning of this issue, talking to the Riddler, and Catwoman finds a Joker body in a casket. But of course, I don't believe that's the Joker. And I don't think she believes it is, either. But the dead Joker corpse starts talking to her just like the corpse did in the last issue. Several men with shovels show up around the grave, right when Catwoman is going to spill the beans to Batman that she knows what's going on, and one of them smacks Catwoman in the head with a shovel, and then of course we see Harley Quinn show up and smacks one of those guys in the side of the head with her mallet. So we had that going on. Then we also go back to Batman, who's with Cheshire after we see her get rammed by the semi last week. One of the cool things I liked in this episode was the that device that Lucius had was that he called the Echo. He just places on Lucius's car, and a hologram of the Batmobile comes around it. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was cool, but didn't we also just introduce this like flying fortress thing?
Yes, we did. Apparently, Lucius is just awesome with tech.
Well, no, then he is. I have no problem with that. I mean, that is very in line and fitting for his character. I got to say, though, I feel like that I want to just focus on that for a second, because while it's a cool idea, I think it's reflective of this general storyline that we're getting, and that I feel like Tinian's doing too much at once. Like, he's trying to just get it all in right now. It's impossible for me to read this and not compare it to the run that we just had. But the one thing that I feel like King did really well is that he was patient with his storytelling. You know what I mean? He could have rammed all of that. Think about the lineup that Bane had at the start, when the City of Bane storyline was sort of introduced and we saw the reveal of him and his entire cohort underneath Arkham.
Uh-huh.
He could have done that, in theory, the first Bane story. But he didn't. He waited. He was patient, and he built it up, and he told 50 issues before that to lead up to that point. So then when we got that super team that Bane was leading, it made more sense. It was more rewarding. And in this story, I feel like I've been trying to figure out why I haven't enjoyed this as much. And I feel like it's because he's just trying to do too much. He's trying to tell this mercenary story. He's trying to tell this architect story. And I understand that they all sort of tie together, but he's doing all of it at once instead of just doing that while making it clear that something else is going on. And then he's doing this whatever, you know, Batman Rogue Gallery plot, whatever it is, and it's all at once, and he's introducing all of these things. It's a new Riddler. There's something weird with the Joker. The mislead that he was dead was weird, because it was like, no, he's not. That would have been, if he had said, like, yeah, no, the Joker died, I'm like, when? In what comic? What are you talking about? He literally just was at their, like, he just disrupted their wedding not that long ago. He was doing whatever with the Legion of Doom. So, you know what I'm saying? I feel like all of these things, I think, potentially could be fine and tell an interesting story, but it's doing the Shazam thing of just cramming it all in. When I don't know. I mean, does he only have a limited number of issues to tell this story?
I don't know. When you're reading it, it feels like chaos in Gotham. That's what I get when I'm reading this.
Yeah, and that might be part of the point that Gotham is kind of blowing up all at once, but again, still, it's so much right away. This is his first story, so, and it's not really based on anything from King. The only thing that carries over is Alfred and Catwoman. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise, yeah. it's its own story, which is fine. That I have no problem with that. But again, if we're assuming this is basically like somebody's new introduction to a new Batman, in a sense, this is so much. The restraint that we saw in King's run isn't there, and I think that's what sticks out about this runs to me so far, because nothing is that, like, it's not a horrible comic. The art's not terrible. The writing's not terrible. It's a lot. It's just so much at once. And I'm just like, I guess I'm a little overwhelmed reading it.
Yeah, it is a little overwhelming. And we also got to remember, it's not Tom King. Right. We've gotten used to his style of writing. And like you said, it's not a bad story. It's not as good as a Tom King story, I don't think. But it's still intriguing.
I agree. And I want to be clear, even though it's not Tom King, I think Tinian Kin is more than capable of writing a great story.
Oh, we know he is. We've been reading Justice League Dark. I mean, he's done great on that. Of course,
but that's the thing. That's what's so at odds to me. That's so at odds with this Batman run. I feel like he has been patient on Justice League Dark. They're still doing stuff with the Upside Down Man. You know what I mean? Like that. I feel like that story has been very well told and very well crafted. And then he's just like, I don't know. So it's curious to me. I know that he can write a good story, that he's not doing some of the things that I think would make the story better. Not changing the plot in any way. I'm not trying to like nitpick his storytelling decisions. I'm just like, why not separate it out more? Why not focus on a smaller part?
Now, we've also seen him do worse writing than this. If you remember the Detective Comics run he did.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. Maybe he just can't write Batman.
I didn't like his Detective Comics. I mean, his Detective Comics run started off good, and then it just went downhill. But
correct me if I'm wrong. That was when he was basically just like, "How many different ways can I make the team try and hate each other?"
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they were like just trying to constantly break up the team.
This is a better story than that one.
I will say, I went into this story concerned about it just because it's a new writer and they tend to want to do their own things. And this comic only strengthened that fear. I am worried that this is going to be the story they use to break Catwoman Batman back up.
That's not going to happen. I mean, he may try it here. Have you heard about what Team Tom King is going to be doing in his limited Batman Catwoman title?
No, other than I know that they're going to be together in it.
Yeah, so I don't want to spoil anything for you, but their status quo is not going to be changing.
Okay.
It may be changing a little bit, but it's not. They're not going to be breaking up. Let's put it that way.
All right. Because I'm not going to lie, that's sort of what this story. Not knowing that this story sort of read like it was you've read Hush, right?
Yes.
It read a little bit like the end of Hush, where there's something that Catwoman does that causes Batman to just lose his trust again.
Okay, since you brought up Hush, one of the things that Penguin tells Batman is about an alliance between the four villains, Riddler, Joker, Catwoman, and Penguin, a united underworld, and it's a play, a kind of a game to defeat Batman. There's false targets are there to keep Batman busy while somebody called the Designer goes after the one true target, Bruce Wayne. First thing I thought, when I was done reading this, the first thing that came, I was thinking about was, who is this Designer? And I was going to ask you who you thought it was. My guess was it was Hush. Your thoughts?
You know, honestly, I would say on paper that's not a bad guess, but given DC's general disregard for for the Hush character recently, I don't think it's going to be him, because I think that it seems to me like creatively they've moved on from that character. I'm not going to lie. Like, we've seen the animated film where they chose to completely change the identity of Hush, in my opinion, inexplicably. And then we saw their version of that character on Batwoman, and that was awful.
Yes, it was.
I don't know. I would be surprised. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst. I wouldn't hate it if it was him. Although I would say, why change his identity to this? Why not? Like, I wish a writer would take the challenge to write a second, like Tom King did with Bane, when we finally got a good second Bane story. I really wish some writer would take the challenge of doing another good story with Hush, because I feel like you can do it. I'm really surprised that that character has not been able to get the, you know, ball rolling past the first story that he was in.
Yeah. So my question is to you, who do you think the designer is? Do you even have a guess?
I mean, I assume it's the Joker to a certain extent, because we know that the next storyline is a big Joker story.
Yeah, we do. I don't know. I can't see the Joker putting this all together without being more chaotic. It's too well planned, I think.
Well, but that is in line with, like, if Tinian writes in the style that Scott Snyder did, Snyder wrote a more meticulous Joker.
Oh, did he?
In his run.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't gone back and read that Snyder run. I need to do that. And that way, that goes back to Snyder's run. Was that part of the Court of Owls? And
yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I do have that. And I do have that in trade paperback. I just haven't read it yet.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, that Joker is, you know, still prone to anarchy by all means, but that is a meticulous master criminal.
Okay.
Certainly in his run.
And we've seen the Joker in the past be more less chaotic and have more plans. I have seen that version of the Joker.
I mean,
before,
even
so.
King, I thought, did an excellent job where we saw the, like, genius criminal and also the, like, clinically insane person. I thought King did a really good job of showing both sides.
Yeah, he did.
And then Snyder dipped into the well of the Joker, like, three times during his run, because he wrote, for most people, they really enjoyed the Death in the Family. Death of the Family. I always get those confused. Death of the Family. That was his first Joker story. Well, first Joker story within that run. And people really liked it. And so he kept returning to that Joker idea. And we saw it. I mean, that the ramifications of that ran all the way through Metal.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, anyway, point being, it might not be the Joker, but whoever it is, I almost wonder if it doesn't matter. Because I feel like it's going to ultimately just be the Joker who emerges from the story anyway. Just, again, just given what we know with where this story, I thought where the DC had said this story was going ultimately.
So, we'll see. I'm hoping my guess is right. But
I'd be thrilled, Drew, honestly. And I would be thrilled in particular if that reveal then did something interesting and resulted in a good story with Hush. Because I really can't believe that no writer has been able to figure out a second story with him.
Yeah. It's a shame. All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Justice League number 40. Well, Cletus, the Justice League title went from the A-team of creators to the C-team. Man, the writing in this. I know you said you went ahead and read the next issue when we talked last week. Man, the writing in this issue was horrible. And the artwork had left much to be desired. At first, I thought the artist switched in the middle of the book. Nope.
Was it Doug Mankey?
I can't remember.
I think it is. You and I both love Geoff Johns' Green Lantern run, and Doug was a huge part of that run.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm crazy or if maybe my art tastes are just, I don't know if my art tastes are changing, but it feels like some of the stuff he's done more recently just feels sloppier.
I don't know.
Like, it's just what seems to be less effort. I don't know. And, or maybe I just don't enjoy his art style as much as I used to.
If you look at the comic again, the front half of the comic seemed to be better drawn than the back half. It seemed like the farther I got into the issue, the worse the artwork was. And the characters looked terrible. There was one page with Superman on there. Man, he just looked terrible. The story itself wasn't that bad, but the dialogue was atrocious. And on top of that, there was a big discrepancy. There was a page where Batman is talking to Alfred about the Batplane coming home, right? Then you go two pages later, and Superman is telling John Stewart that Alfred had passed away. I'm like,
no, it's weird. It's done really weird, and in a way that is not, you have to understand what he's trying to do, because he doesn't make it clear. The scene, there's three panels. One panel is Batman saying to the computer, engage autopilot. Then the middle one is him telling Alfred to steer the ship. And then the last one is the computer telling Batman that autopilot is engaged. What you're seeing in that middle panel is Batman basically flashing back and remembering when he wouldn't tell the computer that, when he would tell Alfred to take over instead.
Oh, okay.
And that's what the color change. But that could have – I do not blame you for misunderstanding that, because while I got it, my very initial reaction to that was, well, that wasn't easy to understand. Like, that was – as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, not everybody's going to understand that, what he's trying to do there. It's not done in a way that is going to be easy to for people to get.
No, it wasn't, because I didn't get it.
There's not enough context there. I mean, it's just a total lack of context clues.
Yeah.
And so I was just looking. It is Doug Mankey the whole way through.
Yeah.
It's just – yeah, I just – like I said, I mean, it's – like when Sodom Yat first shows up, which is a cool throwback to the Green Lantern run with Johns.
Right.
That looks similar to what he was doing. And then like you said, it just – I just feel like there's just a general lack of effort. Like he just sort of stops trying.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know how interested I am in this story. Because Sodom Yat comes to Earth to warn John Stewart that the Eradicator is coming with an army of Daxamite super soldiers to destroy the Earth and remake it as a new colony.
I think there's too much going on. We get Madame Xanadu showing up. We get the Eradicator. There's Sodom Yat showing up, which I know in theory he's connected to this storyline, but maybe they're doing something with him later too. Like, there's just
do you think there's a
story?
Do you think there's a DC mandate? Hey, let's throw as much stuff in these comics as we can and see what sticks.
Well, what I'm reminded of one of the only Justice League runs that I've read. So I want to be clear, because I've not read a ton of Justice League stuff that I really liked consistently, was the Johns run during the New 52. And I will admit that even that started slow, but what I really enjoyed about that is that it went story by story. Like, it was slowly building. Each story kind of built off of it, but it was the same team, and they were just doing one thing, sort of one Justice League thing at a time. I felt like he paced it really well in a way that it felt like you were reading a chronological story, but it still felt like that Justice League team up action that you kind of want. And it's funny because even he, we've seen in the only comic that he's doing for DC right now, even he isn't getting that idea down.
Nope. It's disappointing, isn't it?
Well,
coming off that Snyder run. And
I think the Justice League is a lot harder of a book to write than I think people realize. Is the more Justice League stuff I read, the more I realize that there's frequently the problem of they're trying to juggle all these characters, and so they feel the need to try and do something with each of them instead of just telling a story in which all these characters are in.
Right.
And I thought Snyder did that pretty well, but even his was so unbelievably fast-paced. I still can't believe his run wasn't 100 issues. Like, you could have told that exact same story, like added no story to it, and just like stretched it out in a way that didn't feel like you were, you know, racing through the comic.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
You remember the Justice League cartoon? They used to focus on, when they told stories, they'd focus on a few characters, and then you bring in the other characters as needed. I think that's what they need to do with this title.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I really feel like John's run on Justice League is a good model for how to do. You don't need to do it exactly like him, but the way I felt like the way that he handled that run, it felt like a story. It didn't feel like I was reading, I don't know, like the latest Justice League adventure. Like, the way that this story reads to me just feels like Venditti has been given the roster. Right? Like, these are the guys that you need to use and just figure out a story to do with them. Like, there's not I don't know. This doesn't look like the first step in a bigger story that he's telling. It just feels like this week on Justice League.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there's a better way to do it. But I do think, I have to say, I feel like Justice League is a book that a lot of writers struggle with. I don't know that a lot of writers understand what to do with a team book like this.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, let's move on to Justice League Odyssey number 18. All right, so in this issue, we have Jessica and Orion continue their battle with the New Gods. And, of course, Cyborg is still trying to communicate with Jessica, but can't seem to break Darkseid's control. We see that. Then we have this new character show up, Epoch the Lord of Time. And I don't know, I can't remember if I've seen this character before, but he seems to be in different timelines simultaneously. And one of the things that was interesting he said was, he states that there are several extinction level threats, Perpetua, the Apex version of Lex Luthor, Darkseid, and another whose identity has yet to be revealed. And I'm wondering if the fourth, we already know Perpetua and Lex Luthor are no threats anymore. Darkseid's still out there, of course. But I'm wondering if this fourth one that hasn't been identified yet is going to be Snyder's villain from Death Metal. It just felt like it to me.
Don't you feel like Perpetua's going to be in Death Metal, though? I don't know. I read a couple of his tweets because, again, I was so fascinated by the weird way in which his comic sort of just ended on a blank page, basically. Like, it was weird and almost felt like a choose your ending sort of thing. He was saying that it's going to basically pick up from a little bit after his Justice League run ends, and is going to tie into basically like almost everything that he's done for DC.
Okay, well, if that's
isn't surprising.
If that's the case, then she'll be back.
I could be wrong. I can't imagine that she wouldn't be back if he's tying into like his run basically of all DC. She's got to be in there somewhere. It's just like the Joker doesn't pop up, I'd be shocked.
Okay, let me get to this last bit here. Epoch, his big plan is to rewrite DC history and erase the existence of the big threats. Do you think this run was heading towards the 5G?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, because I don't know how long this has been in the works. Maybe. We both thought it was leading up to something. We thought it was leading up to whatever Snyder was doing, and then it didn't.
I know.
That's what it felt like it was designed to do. I feel like it was designed to lead up to something Snyder was doing. I really don't think his Justice League book was originally going to end when it did, if I'm being honest with you.
Uh-huh.
That I just can't get over the feeling that was not the way that comic was originally supposed to go. I could be wrong. I feel like it was probably meant to do something else, and then the 5G plan changed it. And maybe in a way that Snyder didn't want to write it anymore. That wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
Again, because that ending is such a weird ending that it feels a little bit like I wanted to do something with this book, but now I'm not going to write it anymore sort of thing. So I don't know. I feel like maybe it will ultimately tie into 5G, but I do not think when it was created it was meant to do that. I feel like it was clearly meant to tie into Justice League.
Now, I'll tell you, I've heard some rumors that part of the Didio's exit was because him and Snyder were butting heads.
And I mean, that wouldn't shock me. That what's so DC's plan, I swear, just based on the stories we were reading, had to have changed. It had to have changed midstream. And I don't know whether that was Didio's trying to push this 5G thing through, or whether Snyder wanted something and he was going against it, or whether that's not true at all and it was for some other reason. But it felt like all of these books were trying to build and tie into Snyder's Justice League thing, and then they didn't. None of them ever did anything with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It felt like they were all supposed to go somewhere. We had this Year of the Villain thing. For what? What happened with it? That Justice League arc did not feel like that was supposed to be the end of that book. That did not feel not just the last issue, but the issues before that. None of that felt like it was supposed to be the climax of the story.
No, it didn't. I agree with you on that. The other thing, the other event we had, the Leviathan event, it felt like it fell flat. It was supposed to do something else. Don't you agree with that?
Yes, but that one I can see because Bendis is still clearly playing the long game with something. That one I am not personally shocked that that one fell flat at the end because we talked about it constantly, that book hinged entirely on the reveal. I know that the book told us that it wasn't, but it was. It was always going to be about how good the reveal was, and the reveal was like a what? What? Like, you know what I mean? He didn't. So that one, I think that was just Bendis not sticking to landing. But that's, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, that's pretty frequent for his event comics. That's, in my opinion, the ones that I've read, that's usually how his event comics read for me, is that he does a great job building them up and then he doesn't know how to end it well. He knows how to, I think Bendis for event comics is really good at building stakes and then sort of paints himself into a corner where the ending just isn't satisfying because he's like, oh, only got one issue left. And then everybody was saved. He did that multiple times over at Marvel. Again, this is purely subjective, but anyway. So Leviathan, I'm not so sure that that was a DC publishing thing. I think that was just a Bendis not sticking the landing thing. But the Justice League thing, DC was definitely doing something different because none of this, that was not a conclusion. Like that, there were all of these things that they were doing and they were building up. Like you've got this big year of the villain thing. It felt, I have to say, even during the thing that where they were putting it out, it felt sloppy. And I actually wonder if this is maybe less to do with Snyder and more to do with how DC put this event out. It was confusing. Right?
Yeah.
Because it was like it was trying to do the big giant event like a Blackest Night, which I think is probably the best giant crossover DC's ever done, in my opinion. I mean, obviously you can talk about Crisis on Infinite Earths, but that was one comic, effectively one comic. But Blackest Night was all these books all tying into this giant event, and then it had ramifications coming out of that. But it was confusing. What was the main book? Justice League. But then Justice League was never referencing anything else. It was always focused on its own breakneck story. Like the pacing on that was always wild. And there was no way with the pacing of that book that there a year of publishing was going to be able to keep up with it. I wonder if it was just so poorly handled and that event was supposed to generate more revenue than it did, and when they saw it, oh wow, this bombed, they blamed him.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't know. I don't know about you. I felt like I never really understood totally what DC was trying to do with the whole year of the villain thing. They were pushing all these things, but they all seemed like only loosely connected. And then like what was going on with the Batman Who Laughs. You know what I mean? Like they were doing stuff with that it was supposed to be connected, but then it wasn't really connected, and it was just, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't read any of the Batman Who Laughs stuff they were doing because it seemed to be disconnected.
Right, but I don't think it was meant to be, and maybe it wasn't. Maybe if we had read it would make more sense, but it was all those things. There was all these things that they were pushing that in theory seemed to be like part of a unified marketing strategy that ultimately were just all disjointed and disconnected stories.
Yeah, that's basically what they were. I mean, nothing came out of the year of the villain.
No, that whole marketing era, so to speak, was so, in my opinion, very sloppy, very poorly handled. If you and I are confused by it, and we're veteran comic book readers, and we're actively reading a pretty wide selection of DC books, I mean, what are you expecting the casual reader to do?
Yeah. They'd be tuning out.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, hell, I was tuning out with part of it. I was like, I don't even know what is supposed to matter at this point.
Yeah. We read a lot of those Year of the Villain one-shots, and nothing really became of them.
Well, even like some of the ones that we really liked, like the Riddler one I liked, and it had... Now the Riddler that we're reading in Tinian's Batman run weirdly references that comic despite having nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was like openly admitting like, yeah, you can go buy this comic so that we can get your money, but it had zero impact on the direction of the character.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know where the Justice League Odyssey story is actually going, but I'm sure we're going to find out soon. And it, we may read it and be like, this is a weird direction, but I guess we'll find out soon.
Honestly, if I'm going to be honest, I feel like at this point it's just being allowed to do its own thing. I think it's become so wildly disconnected from anything else that's going on that they're basically just like, you just do you. I think that they're just not using those characters. Like, they, for whatever reason, they don't want Cyborg on that team right now, which I think is a mistake. I think you need to stick with him being a core Justice League member. But for whatever reason, they've decided that Jessica, Cyborg, and a couple of those other characters are superfluous at the moment. They don't need them, and so this is sort of the book to throw them on.
I have to disagree with you. I never liked Cyborg on Justice League. Of course, I'm not a big Cyborg fan either, so I might be biased in that.
They put such an effort into that is a distinct, you can kind of see a distinct era of the Justice League being the Cyborg era, starting with the New 52. Like, it even influenced the movies. He's on that team. So I don't know. I think once you've made that, the problem is he's been so disconnected from the Teen Titans at this point that it would, like, what do you do with the character now?
Yeah.
If you're not going to put him on Justice League and you're not going to put him, in my opinion at this point, I don't think you can put him back on Titans. So then what do you do? That is too important of a character to me. You and I may not be huge. Like, I'm neutral towards the character. I don't really care one way or the other. But there are a lot of people that really like that guy.
Yeah, so I can see that. To me, it wouldn't matter to me if he kind of faded from existence. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I think they need to be doing something more. I don't think this book is going to impact anything. I think it's basically just a dumping ground for some of these characters. If I'm being completely honest, that's what it reads like to me.
Do you think it's going to end soon? I've been wondering that.
I am shocked that it's still going. I don't know if they've got an end game in plan and they're basically letting the story finish itself out before they cancel it. I don't know what the sales figures are for it, so maybe it's selling better than I think, but it just strikes me as a book that it can't possibly be doing that well.
Yeah, maybe they're like, hey, those guys from the Earth Station DC are reading it. Let's keep it going.
yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I'd have to see what the sales figures are to see where it ranks in terms of sales for DC books, and maybe the fact that it's Justice League carries it. It's possible, but it doesn't feel like it's connected to anything. It doesn't feel like it's going to impact anything. It feels like it's a completely, whenever this story ends, it's going to end and it will be the last that most of this will ever be talked about.
I could see that happening.
It's so weird because it's such a weird story. Like, even now, even this, like, post, like, I feel like the Dark Side victory was sort of the half, to me, read like the halfway point of the story. Like, you know, the first half is all build up, Dark Side wins, and then now the second half is all them trying to bounce back from that and ultimately defeat Dark Side.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of that, at the defeat of Dark Side, that's the end of the book.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
It accomplished, I will say, I'll take it back. The one thing that I think it probably was meant to accomplish in terms of wider continuity, and it has done, is restoring Darkseid.
Yeah, and keeping him off the playing field.
Yeah.
From interfering with the regular Justice League story with Perpetua.
Which I don't think is that hard. You just don't mention him. But you know, they don't mention Mogul every comic. You know he's out there, or other villains, you know what I mean? Like, just don't mention him.
Yeah, that's true, but you would...
Hey, Drew Leiter here. I just wanted to apologize. It looks like we lost the rest of the recording. When we were recording, it showed we record the whole episode, but when I saved it, it's having issues, and it didn't save the whole file, apparently, with my standard file and my backup. So I put together everything I had, and I apologize we don't have the whole episode. It's actually a good episode, so. But hopefully we don't have this technical difficulty on future episodes. Otherwise, I'll be changing software. All right, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone?
But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.